introduce our first speaker, Richard. Come on up.
All right, Richard. Woo!
How you doing?
I'm good. I don't know yet, but here, let's hug.
We're supposed to do that, right?
Oh, you know me all
right. Right? Go ahead, take it away, sir. Oh,
that's my introduction.
That's all you get.
My name is Richard Hamadatic.
Hi, Richard.
Thank God for not God's anomaly. I was a little, waiting on something a little bit more.
I wish I could. I don't know nothing about you, Richard.
I'd like to thank Hagner for having me up here and speaking. In case you don't know, this is Hagner 2 t-shirt. This is my 25th year. And it's from July the 1st to the 3rd of 1994. Probably the only thing I got left from that era. But, you know, I want to start this off because I got another sponsor, and he's taking me through some things, and an introduction to the literature, this new literature, is one of them. So, I know the basic text and it works high and wide and the rest of it pretty well. And so it was a humbling experience because actually it comes out of the first tradition what we'll be talking about today. And it's about unity. And as soon as I get over here, it's off page 5. Our commitment to unity is essential in Narcotics Anonymous. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation. Unity is the practical framework that binds us together. So, and it was it talks about a lot of different stuff. And the topic that she talked about comes out of the third paragraph on page 5. And when they sent it to me, this is what it said. Our instinct is to meet disease with disease. But when we meet it with love and compassion, instead, we create an opportunity for recovery. And I like, man, I don't know nothing about that. What does that mean? And had to back up, of course, and get the gist of it. And the unity part of my understanding, and one of the things I talked about in the basic text, the problem with our literature is interpretation. We read it and we come to an understanding particular to ourselves. And on a group setting, which is where the traditions are based, it's a consensus of a like-minded ideas that come to the same conclusion. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't understand it the same, but the majority of the people do. And every good NA member picks up a dictionary from time to time. And unity is described in one of the Websters as oneness. And as you remember, I read about anonymity. It's supporting that as the framework because we read, every time we read, that it's the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Mm-hmm. And how is that possible? Well, the definition that the literature gives of anonymity is selflessness. You know, where the I becomes we. It's no longer about me. I start to get a glimpse of a greater whole. But how does that disease and meet disease thing fit in here? I'm asking myself. And I shared an example earlier. I mean, I care about disease. I don't know about you. My disease woke up with me this morning. Uh-huh. Up in here now. Mm-hmm. It goes everywhere I go. Yeah. So when the disease meets the disease, to me, talks about character defects and shortcomings and acting on those things. Because I before I got here, it's like, I'm going to get me a cup of coffee and a donut. And the guy says, well, they're not really serving right now. They're not going to serve to 10:30. So this addict says, well, I'll get 10:30. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me as if to say, and? They feed at 10:30. You know, so my ego, hey man, I'm like, okay. I'm supposed to get treated differently. You know? And the presence of mind was brought by, he asked somebody else, would it be all right for him to get it, you know, and it turned out. But if you know my history, that ain't always has been. There's some people sitting here today that has witnessed the disease, meeting the disease with outcomes that ain't like that, you know? And I'm not proud of that. It's just about my evolutionary process with this. Because it's when I made a commitment to be a part of Narcotics Anonymous and work the 12 steps and do those things, the unity part comes from my behavior. Because we're all addicts and we're all capable at any given moment to do both the bad thing and the right thing. So my experience with that is as it relates to service has been, I come from the dope house. I come from the crack house, right? To be more specifically. We didn't have no Robert Rules of Order and shit going on up in there. We didn't have that. It was all about me watching you, what you pull out your pocket. If it's, you know, man. And the first time, man, that's a whole bunch of shit. I need to get over there and try to manipulate and see how I can get be a part of this. So that's what I come in here on Narcotics Anonymous with. I didn't come in here, as the literature say, brimming with love and understanding and compassion with the idea that I'm going to become spiritually enlightened and love my fellow man. That's what the fuck happened to me when I got here. I don't know about you. Some of y'all might have come in here like that. We come in at different levels. But I came here on an animalistic level. I didn't know how, by way of the penitentiary. So I really don't know how to act in social settings. Narcotics Anonymous opened its arms and it welcomed me in spite of, and despite of, my behavior, defects of character, and where I am and how I thought. And you guys loved me right where I was at and continue to love me until I can evolve to a higher consciousness. Till I can get on the spiritual plane, because we got to get on the spiritual plane. Because I come in here on the physical plane, you know, and the physical plane says, I'm going to get you before you get me, and this is mine, and yours is mine. So now I'm having to learn how to have unity from a disunified personality. I was mentally unbalanced when I got here. You know, up was down and sideways was up. You know, so now I get here and you guys are behaving in a socially acceptable manner. You know, you looked like normal people. You know, y'all was smiling and y'all had, you know, there was no, at the first meeting anyway. There was no fist fight. You know, there was no, you know, women was coming in with short skirts and and all of that kind of stuff. And the behavior was, decorum was still maintained. Didn't nobody get a, ooh, none of that. So the unity that I'm bringing and that I am aspiring to learn comes from regular meeting attendance. Because I ain't got to the steps yet. We're talking about coming out of the jungle into civilized world, and how do I get out of that sea of isolation into the open arms of Narcotics Anonymous? What bridges that gap? And it's the people of Narcotics Anonymous that the fellowship that keeps me. It says it keeps us buoyant. It keeps us floating. And when you guys hugged me and told me to keep coming back and, you know, listen to my bullshit, because that's all it was, really bullshit. I kind of felt like I belonged at the period. I couldn't explain it in words. I really can't articulate it now, but it was just something that let me, in my spirit, that let me know that I was probably in the right place, you know? Because I wanted all. I wanted to be wanted. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to fit in. That's why I did all those antics. That's why I was such a chameleon. I tried to fit in everywhere. which was pretty easy to do since I didn't really have an identity of myself. It was easy to switch shirts, you know. And then I got here, and it says we start to see that the group can be trusted to make decisions. Now, I'm going to move me over here to the group, because really, like, the tradition is about the group. And so how does the disease meet the disease in that arena it's my first instinct. And one of my first instincts is that somebody think he knows something. and that will probably manifest itself in how I conduct myself in whatever it is, whether it's a business meeting or ad hoc meeting, or because I don't know about you. I think after I got into that stuff, I thought I had the best ideas. I knew just how to save Narcotics Anonymous. I knew just how to structure shit. And y'all need to listen to me. So the spiritual principles contained in the steps weren't really activated. You know, it says that we act in disunifying manner. So the business meeting or whatever meeting is going on, but Richard ain't have his way, so what? He's going to fold his arms and do all kind of mannerisms and shit to let you know I'm just rolling the motherfucker with this. Y'all got this one, but let me tell you, it ain't going to be easy. And so that the unity is lost. You know, my friend said, no, it was about, I think we were going to get ready to move or something. And my home group was getting ready to move. And I was watching people stacking the deck, running to get their sponsees, just tying the vote, you know, and stacking the deck and shit, and going and soliciting people after the meeting outside. And I'm watching that, and when it get to the meeting, I just come unglued, you know. But it says that at some point, if I trust this process, the group will make good decisions. And one of the things that for Richard that I had to learn was, I pretended I'd go along with it. You know, y'all outvoted me, you know, and shit, and y'all get to do what y'all want to do, either I abstain or some shit like that, you know. I ain't gonna go for it. I'm gonna abstain. So, in that abstinence of me doing that abstaining, I wanted to go around and bicker and bitch about it. That's disunity. That's ununifying. And as a newcomer watching that, if a newcomer that comes through the rank, and if we got sponsees and we're bringing them, they're learning the decorum, you know, because Narcotics Anonymous it says in our literature, it's not disorganized. You know, we have organization, which is a procedure to do stuff, and we do it in a loving and caring manner. That's the spirit of it. That don't always happen, but we try to do that. So we're coming out of this sea of isolation. We're coming out of this dope house where it's a free-for-all, and it's all about me, to an environment where it ain't about me. It's about that person that's coming down the pipe. It's about, because we hear it say all the time, Narcotics Anonymous can survive without me, but I can't survive without Narcotics Anonymous. That's partially true. Narcotics Anonymous can't survive without me, or us. It is us that makes up Narcotics Anonymous. That's what the tradition is talking about. The unity, our common welfare. That means if the group dies, so does Narcotics Anonymous and the individual. That eventually it's going to die from the top down. You know, there'll be... And for me, I'm trying to tie it, because there's a lot of information in here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going to get back to the unity thing with me in this literature, is because one of the way I practice unity is to embrace the new Narcotics Anonymous literature. You know, I mean, it's about evolution. It's about the spiritual principles are the same, the traditions are the same, but we evolved. Nobody would thought we'd have to make a declarative statement about social media when we first started this process. But we do now. So the evolution. So my looking at the literature differently, you know, because I was, like I said, this is my 25th year, and I was brought up with the basic text and people telling you to shut the fuck up and sit down. We don't want to hear from you. We don't do that no more. We don't do that because of the damage that the disunifying thing that it may have. It's about fanning the flame of desire. I weathered it. I'm still here after the group. Some of the people in the group talk like that. But everybody is not able to withstand that. You know, some people might say, I ain't never coming back to North Carolina, because they might have been abused as a child. They talked, but their father a lot of talk to them like that. So rather than ever giving that opportunity, one of my things that I do is I try not to be a part of the problem. I try to be a part of the solution. And I just thank God for my predecessors, because they taught me pretty well. I remember when I got out, and one of the things about, it says over here, if I read it, coming to terms with the first edition can be challenging. We need each other desperately, and yet we are free. This reservation often comes out of our experience of being hurt. We tend to react in disunifying ways to the possibility of being hurt again. Here I am entrusting my well-being and my life to a fellowship that I don't really know a whole lot about. And I'm going to make that decision based on the people in it, my interaction with those people. That's why we hug the newcomer. That's why we tell them to keep coming back. That's why we have within each group, a lot of them have workshops on how to conduct the meetings. And when somebody come out there and talk about in Malachi 6:1-1, you know, we got a method in a loving and kind way to defuse that situation and move it back into the recovery atmosphere. Because it's about the atmosphere of recovery, which keeps the unity. Unity is the lifeline of this process. That's why we can go to Timbuktu to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and think we're in Houston. Because it's the same. The people are the same. The principles we adhere to are the same. And that comes from trial and error, because it talks about it in the early part. And we came up with traditions because we made a bunch of mistakes about getting involved with stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what we're about, and minimizing, we can't control people. Only thing we can, because I like in the It Works High and Why, and in this book here, it talks about the spirit of the, because see, I was big on throwing that shit at you. What the traditions say? You know, you go in there, and one of the things that I have to practice today is, because I was in a meeting the other day, and they said, we're going to end it with a third-step quote. And my mind immediately got diseased. Motherfucker, what you talking about, quote? Prayer. Right. So now, I'm going to engage into some controversy. All they want to do is pray. But I want to break it down. Well, I wasn't, you know. So that's when disease meets disease. But when believe it or not, I didn't open my mouth. I just went on with this process. It ain't gonna kill me. And if I'm really upset about it, then I'll join their home group, go to their business meeting, and then tell them some shit. Otherwise, I'm creating a disunifying atmosphere. Spock said it best. Y'all anybody Star Trekkers in here? Nobody watch Star Trek?
I see that.
He said the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one. So I come in here in that spirit of anonymity. I could be a rocket scientist and probably have a really profound way of redesigning narcotics anonymous where it might function in a different manner. However, I through this process of anonymity, I relinquish that. I am willing to sit back and allow this group or the individual to crash and burn or do whatever the consensus is. Because it's a God thing. The God conscious of the group is to do this or do that in spite of whether I agree with it or not. So my part in that, in the unity, is that I don't create any problems. Somebody keep me in verse where I'm at, because like I said, it's a lot of stuff in here. And it says, trust in the fellowship grows, we can be less afraid. Unity of purpose keeps us together. Feelings are pushing us when the feelings are pushing us toward the door. When I read that, it's like my instinct is to run. And it to stay in those uncomfortable situations is an opportunity for growth for me. And there's another thing I want to catch in here. We can, because it's coming out of the topic right here, that bold stuff. It's safe for the member. We ain't talking about them drive-by people that just happen to, you know, come in here and go. But somebody that has, you know, says we're a member when we say are. We hear that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But read the rest of it. Mm-hmm. It says that if we remember when we say we are, we're going to do some shit. Yeah. We're going to get a home group.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to make regular meeting attendance at that home group. Mm-hmm. We're going to support that home group.
Yeah.
And we have made a decision that this is where we're going to hang out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give all my energy. I'm going to visit other groups. But this is where I'm going to give all my energy to.
That's good.
Commitment. Unity. Everybody that make that decision are unified in thought. Mm-hmm. Our job, because we talk about, we ain't got but one purpose in Narcotics Anonymous. The group has only one function. That's to carry the message to the addict still suffering. We ain't no fashion show, ain't nothing but right there to carry the message. That's all we there for. Anything other than that, we're not in line with what the tradition says. We're involved in shit that ain't got nothing to do with what we're about. So every thought and being, if we're part of that group, are the same. How can I better carry this message?
That's good.
What kind of format as a group can we come up with to interest the newcomer to try to hang around just a little bit longer, or the old timer to share experience with the hope? That's our only function. So that's unifying. Because we're a single in purpose. That's when I said something about going to wherever we go in another state. That's all their only purpose. Their only purpose is to make sure that whoever's ready to come out of that hellhole has the same shot at hope that we got when I got here in Narcotics Anonymous. Because you guys gave me hope because I thought I was destined to live that way. I thought that the best that I could do was get a little run going before I went back to the penitentiary. I never envisioned a life without the penitentiary. And so I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous for that. And to have that afforded. It says over here, and I take it a little bit more serious than that. It says, one of the purest expressions of goodwill in NA is our heartfelt desire for the newcomer to have freedom.
Yes.
Sometimes it's more genuine than I hope for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When that desire takes hold, we feel compelled to clear away any distraction between the newcomer and the message. And when I read that, it's like, okay, because as an individual in the group, what is my responsibility with union? What is my responsibility to the newcomer? And you know what the literature say, that if that newcomer ain't got no sponsor, it's the group responsibility to sponsor that individual until he gets one. To clear out whatever is in the way. If you see some activities, some behaviors that are not conducive, that this newcomer ain't going to have a shot, you need to say something. Mm-hmm. Wow. I take no back seat and say, well, somebody else will do that. Yeah. That's not my job. I just came here to get clean. But the love and the passion that drives us, it says clear out anything that's in the path of that newcomer. And all I have to do is just think back a little bit about when I got here. What if y'all let somebody get in my damn way? What if y'all let somebody say something, do something, or be something that would interfere with that process? And that's our primary purpose. So if you say that it's our primary purpose and you ain't willing to say something, I don't know. Maybe you might see it differently from me. But I might think you full of shit at that moment. Because as some people was here attest to you, one dude, I can only base this on my experience, right? So I go to this H&I function, I'm doing this H&I, and somebody asked me to sit on a panel, and I did. Next thing I know, I'm in this room, and it's like they're passing this basket around. I don't say nothing. Which is growth for me. And I asked the dude at the end, I said, man, what the basket about? He says, well, they're collecting a little money for a coffee, so they'll have something to drink. I try to be as loving as I can, right? I said, man, you might need to read that book again, because we don't do that. But we're not affiliated with this facility that we're in. They need to collect money for coffee on their own time. Not doing it. I ain't saying they can't do it, but they can't do it while Narc Isonomas up in here in the group. And they took it to somebody else, and they took it to somebody else. And somebody told me that, fuck the tradition. We do what we want to. And over the table I come. At a fucking Hagner convention. And somebody restored me to some sanity and said, man. They say, well, what about that newcomer, Richard? They see you acting that way. And that hurt me. Because I don't want to be that reason. I love this fellowship because it gave me a life that I can't even explain how good it is to me. And I don't, you know, I mean, I'm just glad that we don't, like, okay, you pay $700 of rent for a month, right? For rent. I'm glad we don't break shit down like that, but I wouldn't have a goddamn thing, because all I do sometimes is pray in the morning, real quick, and don't do nothing, don't do no dope all day, and come home and maybe say a prayer at night and make a meal. I don't give this fellowship near the time and effort that I think it would require for me to even make a down payment on what you guys have given me. Now I'm going to switch over a little bit and talk about how in Richard's life, how much better my personal life would be if I practiced this unity. I got a real serious disunifying effect in my intimate relationship with my significant other. She's a recovering addict too, and disease meets the disease all the motherfucking time. All the time. Because she wants what she wants, and I want what I want, and it takes some work. It takes some conscious effort not to fall victim to this disease. Because it'll settle for not getting you high. It'll settle for fucking you miserable. You know? And I looked up a word the other day, nitpicker. I'm a fucking nitpicker. Every fucking thing, man, you know? Why your eyeshadow crooked? Why you do this? Why you do that? What you do over there? I don't know where I got that shit from, but it's fucking my relationship up. She does not require a full-fledged paragraph from Richard when she tells me something. And will tell me in advance, I don't want no advice, just listen to me. And I listen to it with gritted teeth because I'm just bursting at the seams to try to get something out of the end. That's good, but. I mean, it's like, I don't know where that shit come from. I got my sponsor going to take me through some stuff. You know, I don't want to hurt no. I don't really try to intentionally hurt nobody, but this disease is a hurting disease. You know, even in my relationship. And in literature, it said it destroys marriages. Then on the, when I looked it up on the internet, it said the same motherfucking thing. I need to take a serious, if I'm really interested in maintaining this relationship, then I need to do what I need to do to try to overcome that. Or at least do it a hell of a lot less, because it's causing a lot of problems. And that's not just in that. It's a, I seem to need to say the last motherfucking word. I can't tell you how many ass whoopings I got as a kid because of that. Or fights in jail. Probably wouldn't even been no fight if I kept my motherfucking mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, bitch, you didn't want no trouble. No, I don't. No. If I just kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't have got my ass tore up that day. And I'm still getting it tore up on a different, in a different level, man, on the spiritual level. And, this as a couple other things, because I know probably, though, I probably ran out of time.
Yeah, you got that.
You ain't said six, nothing. What kind of help are you?
6 minutes. I was waiting.
Okay.
I was going to give you 2 minutes.
And in a service, communication is necessary for unity. The same is true for our personal relationship. Learning to communicate effectively is one of the greatest gifts of involvement in a service. It improves our ability to carry the message, number one, but it can also change our lives at work, at home, and our daily and interactions with others. Good communication of unity. Good communication is a result of unity and a necessary condition for it. It says, surrender allows us to make peace with reality even when it's not going our way. When unity is our guiding principle, there are some arguments we just don't need to have. We can live with differences because we trust the integrity of the bond. You know, and in closing, it's just like, I don't have to, if I'm in one accord with somebody, then I don't need to do a lot of battling. If people understand where I'm coming from, and we don't always have to agree on it.
That's right.
But it's about me learning to grow and in a loving and a compassionate way, try to get my point across or via meeting or intimate relationships. But, you know, I want to thank you again for having me. I don't know if anybody got anything out of that, but, you know, that's all about all I got. Thank you for letting me.
Thank you, Richard.
Can I go back to my seat now?
Not quite yet. No. Once again, can everyone help me thank Richard for sharing his experience?
That is odd.
Okay, now you can. Okay, our next speaker is Brianne E.
Come on, Brianne.
I gotta stand, y'all.
And you go ahead and take it away too. You don't.
I don't need an introduction either. I don't like them. I think they're all for the three main specials. So I'm an act. My name's Brianne.
Hi, Brianne.
I gotta put my hair up. My friend Julie B always says when I do it, it means shit's gonna get real, right? So I'm an addict, and I'm from Iowa. And I usually do some disclaimers. I have ADHD. I move my hands a lot. I bounce around a lot. And I carry my message different than other people. And I have found that it says in our literature, I'm supposed to carry this message enthusiastically, right? And it's kind of like Sean G says, right? That, you know, if I'm not passionate about my recovery, relapse is real passionate about me, right? So, like, for me, that's how I like it. I love Sean G. I just got to put it out there. So, anyway... So when Tony called me and asked me to share, I was just like, oh man, what am I gonna do? My old man works on the road, so he's gone all the time. And I'm like, he's not gonna be able to go with me. I don't wanna go by myself. So I started calling around and talking to my friends and finding people to go. And I'm like, all right, Tony, because it worked out that, you know what I mean? Cause I've learned through the, through being in this program, man, like if it's not practical, it's not spiritual, right? And it was practical for me at the time. So I said, okay, Tony. So I came out here, we flew out here. It was exhausting. And man, you guys, this convention is amazing, man. Like the hotel is really nice, even though I had to get changed to a different room because the toilet was broke. You know what I mean? So like they upgraded us to a suite and I'm like, okay, okay. But man, your guys' hospitality is amazing. So thank you for allowing me to come here to be of service. My favorite type of thing is service work. My favorite is H&I. But I'm truly grateful, man. So like for me and my tree, like I hate calling them sponsorship trees, but in my tree, we break down the literature, man, and I'm very literal and I like to break things down. So like I started at the beginning of the paragraph, right, where it talks about coming to terms with the first tradition can be challenging, right? So our first tradition is our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on that NA unity, right? So then it goes on to say that we need each other desperately, desperately, man, and yet we're afraid. So I start looking at that and I think about that, about how I need Narcotics Anonymous. I need you guys. I need you guys in my life. But so like it goes on to say that this reservation often comes from our experience of being hurt. Okay. So like this, check this out. Here's an example. So I was new in recovery. I come in Narcotics Anonymous and all you guys are smiling and happy and all these bitches. I'm sorry I call you guys bitches. I'm a bitch, but I call women bitches. When I first came in and I was like, fuck all you guys. You all want my man. You want to sleep with him. You know what I mean? You just want to steal from me. Like I can't trust women. You know what I mean? And like homegirl comes up to me and gives me a hug and I'm like, don't fucking touch me. I don't want your hug. And she's like, hi, my name's blah, 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 blah. How are you? It's nice to meet you. Where are you from? How is this your first meet? And what I hear in my head, my disease tells me, she says, ooh, your man's hot and I want to fuck him. Right? So my disease shows up, and I'm just like, do you not know who the fuck I think I am? Right? So that's and I start disunifying, right? And it's like the literature talks about I think I'm fatally hip and terminally cool, right? And I want to look at all the differences instead of the similarities. And like I'm sitting up in where's he at? Richard, I keep wanting to call you Charlie. I don't know why. So like Charlie was talking about it. So when I show up at the meeting or show up at area and stuff, and like my disease wants to tell me that, like when they're sharing and we're like, oh, here goes Joe Schmo again with all this fucking bullshit about how he's gonna make everything better. I was laughing when you were saying that because I was like, I automatically turn that off instead of listening, you know what I mean, and thinking, hey man, he's got some good points. Right, I automatically disunify because what it is it's my self-centered fear, right? That loss of control in my life that shows up because I live in self-centered fear, and that's what it is, and that's when my disease fucking shows up. And to me, fear is a lack of faith, right? But I can't get there yet. So anyway. So then it talks about, and then it comes up to this, right? So we tend to react in disunifying ways to the possibility of being hurt again, right? So like when I came in the rooms, and I always use this, that the women, man, like all my life, I had all these resentments built against women. You know, my mom abandoned me when I was 5 years old. I had a stepmom that treated me different and treated me badly. You know, I got in bad relationships where I knew my old man was sleeping with all these different women and I didn't care. You know, I hated women because they were sleeping with my man. They would steal from me. But, you know, I hated everything about you because I hated it in me. Because I was fucking your old man. I was stealing your dope, helping you look for it. I was stealing your clothes. I was doing everything that I hated about you. It's because I hated it about me. I hated myself. You know, man, like I crawled in my own skin when I looked in the mirror. You know what I mean? So I projected all that onto everybody else and I became really defensive and I wouldn't take a suggestion. So when homegirl would come up to me and be like, man, are you all right? I'm just like, back the fuck up. Right? Because I wanted to separate myself from that. And it was hard for me to allow it in because this is how I justify it. Plausible but on true belief systems, right? Like the men are the only ones that will give me a ride to the meeting, right? The men are the only ones that will buy my coffee when we go out to eat when I don't have no money. Like, it's all bullshit. The men are drama. Bullshit, man. Like, I'm calling bullshit because I have relationships with women today that are more intimate, that are more meaningful than any relationship I've ever had with a man. Right? And it's kind of like, I heard this once that it was like, who's the prostitute? You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is that, like, these men are expecting that I'm going to sleep with them. And I know that, but I'm going to play on that and manipulate them to get what I want. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm real good at being a fucking victim. And I'm real good at manipulating you to get what I want. And I know how to use my past to get that, man, because I've been through a lot of shit and done a lot of things and seen a lot of things that I can turn and use against for my own good to people, because I'm the fucking victim. And I've been in a lot of victim situations. But I know today that I don't live there no more. I'm not there no more, right? So like it talks about, our instinct is to meet disease with disease, right? And it says, but when we meet it with love and compassion instead, we create an opportunity for recovery, man. That is the meat and potatoes of this whole fucking tradition. So like when I read that, I was like, man, you know what I mean? Because I like to self-sabotage myself, right? And like when you were talking about relationships, I was laughing because, man, my old man's an addict too. And that's like the main part. I'm the same way, man. And it talks about in our literature that relationships can be a painful area, right? So like for me, like when he works on the road, he's home, he goes for 2 weeks, comes home for like 2 days. And like I know when he's coming home, I know that he's gonna bitch about something in the fucking house, okay? Something's not done right. It doesn't matter if I've cleaned the whole motherfucker, done extra shit, fucking mowed the lawn, took the dog to get a haircut, everything looks freaking like June Cleaver, right? I know when he gets home, he's like, the fucking garage is a mess. Jesus, fuck, man. So like my disease shows up and like I want to disunify myself, so I act like a goddamn 2-year-old stomping around the house, fucking dirty socks laying on the floor, fucking, you know what I mean? You just come home and throw your bags all over the floor, and I fucking separate myself and I lower myself to participate in that shit. Right? Disunifying myself from the relationship instead of understanding and meaning with love and compassion, knowing, man, this dude just busted his ass for 2 weeks to pay the rent, to pay my car payment, to pay the cell phone bill, to pay for daycare. You know what I mean? I just sit at home on my ass all motherfucking day. You know what I mean? So instead of meeting him with love and compassion, I want to automatically just jump on him. And so like, it's kind of like that in the meeting. So like when I'm sitting in a meeting and same old Joe Schmo is sharing once again his mess, because it's not a message, right? He's just spilling all this shit, you know, and I turn off. I'm not listening. I'm not fully listening. I'm thinking about, I'm like chopping up all this shit like, oh my God, like he's fucking misquoting the book and he's fucking, no offense, he's chanting in the fucking meetings. And you know what I mean? When you guys were chanting, my disease showed up like, oh, we got chanters. We got chanters. Because where I come from, man, like that's a disgrace against the fucking readings. That's how I was brought up, man. And like when you guys were laughing when he was talking about the sit down, shut the fuck up, you know what I mean? Like you're in the get well row, you know what I mean? The intensive care row, you know what I mean? Like I was told once, like women in recovery, patty cake shit. And people tell me all the time that I'm heartless. Like I don't play, man. Like this is a life or death situation, man. Like if you want me to patty cake it for you or grab your hand and fucking drag you, or I hear people say, a sponsor's gonna kick me in the ass. That ain't me. That's not how I do. I will meet you with love and compassion and I'll be there, man, but I'm not gonna put more work into your recovery than you are. And that's just how I am, man, because I show up and try and give my recovery 110%, man. So like how it talks about like, you know, it says, our instinct is to meet disease with disease and then meet it with love and compassion and say, we create an opportunity for recovery. And Richard was talking about it, man, because like when we start to disunify them, groups, like fellow groups start to perish. You know what I mean? And then it starts to follow in the fellowship, man. So like when homegirl comes up to me and it was like, And you know, it's my girl, this is my friend Steph. She flew from Iowa with me, man. And she comes up to me and she tells me, oh, homegirl's talking about you and she's doing this and this. I don't have to fucking participate today. So what I do is I have to do this for my recovery and set an example for that newcomer that, hey man, like, I've learned some things in Narcotics Anonymous that I don't have to participate today. It's none of my fucking business what anybody else thinks or says about me. And I always say, man, if they're talking about me, they're leaving the newcomer alone. You know what I mean? And the truth always prevails. I'm secure in the love and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I love myself enough today, and I have faith and trust in my higher power that the truth always prevails. So I just walk through it through grace, with grace and dignity, to get through the other side that, hey man, people are gonna see through all that shit, but I don't have to participate in that because my disease wants to show up, go fire, and be like, why are you talking shit? You got something to say in my face? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll break you apart. You know what I mean? And, but you know what I mean? Because it goes back to that. I'm gonna show you by fucking me. And what that means is that, like, I'm gonna show up, act a goddamn fool, and then I have to go back and tell my sponsor, I did it again. You know what I mean? And take my part. And then I got to go back and tell that same girl, man, I am sorry. I am going to, you know what I mean? I got to make that amends. And fucking, it's shameful to have to keep doing that kind of shit, right? Yeah. So like, and then it talks about, so the opportunity for recovery. And it was talking about severing. So that when I read that part that they gave me, I thought about that first step, right? So in the first step in our step working guide, it says, What does the disease of addiction mean to you, right? So for me, my disease of addiction is anything that separates me from you and me from God. And it's easy for me to put anything in between that. And that's what disunifies me from other people when I do shit like that, man. So then it goes on to talk about addiction separates us. We were just talking about it. Addiction separates us from others, and unity is the antidote to alienation. So guys, when I first came into recovery, I'm not gonna lie to you, I fucking did. I was that girl that hit my head like a million times. I've been in 23 inpatient, outpatient treatments. I didn't understand why I couldn't get it, and it was because I was trying to do everything opposite. Everything you told me not to do, I went and did. Everything that you said that you shouldn't do, I was like, I'm gonna show you. So I kept going back out, and I come in and out, and so then it, hold on. So what happened was, is that I didn't get a sponsor for a long time, man. And at 18 months clean, I got out of a bad relationship. Man, I would have left me too. But anyway, I was like standing in my basement trying to hang myself, right? Because the thought changed from go get high to just go fucking kill yourself. And I was pissed off, standing in my basement, crying because I was too tall to hang my fucking self. I can't even kill myself, right? And I did something different, but I didn't pick up the phone. I went on Facebook, right? And I asked for help. And I asked for help, right? And my very first sponsor, they became my very first sponsor, called me. She was at work, man. Talked to me for like three, hours, man. And she gave me hope that it was gonna be all right. And she became my first sponsor, man. And we started working these steps, and she started taking me to NA conventions, and I started visiting various groups, and I started going to women's retreats and learning how to trust another woman. And we built this intimate relationship, and I told her things about me that I never thought I'd tell another human being. And we started breaking down the literature, and I started getting an understanding of this program that saved my fucking life. And it's kind of like that speaker said last night, like the basic text is a textbook, and a textbook says it's to be studied. Right? And that we talk about that all the time, man. So I'm always rereading it and getting a different understanding and trying to build my understanding of this program that I love so much, man, because I love Narcotics Anonymous so much. And you can ask anybody, like, I'm just gung-ho. I fly everywhere all the time to share at workshops. And everybody's like, man, you got to pay for your own shit. Yeah, man. Because you know what? I would walk fucking 15 miles in the middle of winter with my fucking 6-month-old son to get one fucking more. One fucking more, right? Because one is too many, a thousand is never enough. So like it talks about, as our trust in the fellowship grows, we can be less afraid. So like I started to build all these relationships and letting people in and doing service work and visiting these various groups and getting people's phone number and calling them and allowing myself to put a little bit of trust out there, you know what I mean? And put a little faith out there that, hey, it was gonna be all right, man. And like we were rolling together like 20, 30 deep, going out to eat and building on unity, man. And it says, unity is of purpose, keeps us together when feelings are pushing us toward the door, man. So my sponsor has taught me that feelings are not fact. It's okay to feel your feelings, but when you fucking sit there in your feelings, it's moving you towards the door. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I get in my feelings, I'm the kind of fucking put a blanket up over the fucking window. I'm not getting up out of bed. I'm laying there. I'm sleeping. Poor fucking Brianne. Feeling sorry for myself. Once again, I'm the fucking victim, and it's all about me, and how dare they fucking go. You know, I'm scrolling on Facebook. How dare they go to Houston to that convention without me? Nobody invited me, and poor fucking me. But you know what I mean? I've disunified myself because I'm not telling anybody that I'm hurting. I'm not telling anybody that, hey man, I need help. And by not doing that, I'm pushing myself away from Narcotics Anonymous. Man, I ain't gonna lie to you guys. I'll have 11 years in December, and I still think in my fucking head, here's the thing, is that my sponsor says, I can't control that first thought, but what I do with that thought, I can. Right? Am I gonna go into the solution or am I gonna stay in disease? Right, so the other day I'm sitting there, right, and I'm driving along, and this thought just, listen, shit pops in this head, and it makes me feel better. My sponsor has 23 years, and she's like, I'll call her, and she goes, oh, I think about that shit too, and I'm like, oh, I feel so much better, you know what I mean, because I'm scared to tell her. My disease shows up, and it's like, don't fucking tell somebody you were thinking that. So I'm driving along, and it pops in my head, man, like, I wonder what Johnny would say, that's my old man, if I didn't go to Narcotics Anonymous no more. Do I really need Narcotics Anonymous anymore? Like, I've been doing this for a while. I don't need to go to meetings. I've already worked set of 12, like, four or five times. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my sponsees could find out. I started processing. Listen, I, like, processed this for, like, 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, it was, like, a smack in the face. And guys, like, wake the fuck up. Like, I was like, whoa, man. Like, where did that come from? Like, I rode on that train for, like, 20 minutes. And I was like, whoa, I had to call my sponsor. But anyway, you know, it talks about how staying through difficulty is a profound act of surrender. We need each other more than we need our old beliefs, right? So my old beliefs tells me that I'm not good enough, that nobody will fucking understand, that I don't need nobody else. I've never had anybody all my entire life, and that I've come this far, and that it's gonna be all right, man. But that's just my fucking head telling me some shit, because I have evidence in my life today that I need you guys. I need you guys. And it's kind of like they say elephants, when one's injured, they all come together and hold that one injured one up until he's okay again. And that's how I look at Narcotics Anonymous, man, because without you guys, I can't do this. Without you guys helping me, I can't do this. And I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm just going to stop.
You still got like 12 minutes. That's fine. You can't go yet.